Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
Amen, amen. First, give honor to God who's the head of our life. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Gospel Connection. We're your host is Apostle Douglas Sr. and myself, Pastor Kashima Douglas. The scripture for this morning is Psalms 92:15. The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Psalms 92:15. The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer.
Good morning. Welcome to the World Wide Gospel Connection. Again, thank you guys for working to be part of helping us this morning, part of the World Wide Gospel Connection. We appreciate you guys for coming in and tuning in every day like you do. We love you so much.
Guys, always, that number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak with the host or to have prayer on this morning. Again, thank you guys so much for being a part of today's broadcast. We want to make sure that we acknowledge those countries that are listening in. Again, as always, we want to say thank you for partnering up with us and being a part of what we do here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And remember always, guys, that we love you so much for doing that. And remember to always share the broadcast. Let a friend know, let a neighbor know that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air on this morning. We want to thank the United States. We want to thank Canada, Brazil, Ghana, Guyana, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Jamaica, Russia, Germany, Saudi Arabia, Bulgaria, China, and Hong Kong. Thank you guys so very much for partnering up with us. And remember always, guys, we're praying for you as always. We know that your job that you have there overseas is a very difficult job, dealing with those that are taskmasters as within that region to make it. They don't make it easy for you guys to convert and continue to call on the name of Jesus and have those to be converted and come into Christ. So know that we are praying for you. Know that we are calling on the name of the Lord for you. And that we ask that you will continue to do it. Remember that there are those of us over here on the other side of the world. We're praying for you. We're calling on the name of the Lord for you. We're calling on his name because we realize that the work that you do is not an easy job. We know that it's a hard job. Please continue to keep your hand to the plow and don't give up. Amen. Let us go into effectual, fervent prayer. Thank you, Father God, for today. God, we thank you for those under the sound of our voice. God, we pray something is said and done on the broadcast today. We'll encourage and strengthen and empower somebody. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You listen to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight that he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. somebody know that tonight. Oh, see, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl.
Said that he is mine.
He only sees me for who I am.
Because they didn't want you to stomp across that kitchen floor and make that cake drop. That could be a whooping for weeks. They would start at noon, if not before, preparing supper. Now we feed our children Hot Pockets. There's a whole billion-dollar industry called fast foods. Well, we are influenced by our environment. And in ministry, we get saved today, start preaching next week. 2 weeks after that, we start a ministry. And by the end of the year, we've launched a church. Within 2 years, we are consecrated bishop over the internet, because every other reformation is either jealous of us or frightened of our ministry. But our text tonight really emphasizes the fact that no matter how quick things happen in our environment, the procedure and policy of God has not changed. Included in your growth plan is a course called patience. James 1 and 4 states, "But let patience have her perfect work." Why? "That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I'll come back to that in a moment. You must finish this course in order to graduate to the next level. And you might ask, well, Pastor, I've been saved a while, and what is the first course of patience? Unlike the young man that thought he could attain patience through prayer, you can't get patience through prayer. He prayed earnestly and sincerely, "Lord, give me patience right now." And when he got up off of his knees, he had no more patience than he did when he got on it. The first stage in acquiring patience is tribulation 101. Romans, the 5th chapter, the 3rd and the B part of that 3rd verse says, "Tribulation worketh patience." What we must understand about patience is the fact that it not only takes something out of you, but it downloads something in you. I'm glad I have your attention, and I'm not going to keep it long. But to understand what God does in the life of an individual is quite profound. It's profound from this perspective, that God says the end is with me from the beginning. So in other words, when God makes a statement, the end is already with him. God, in the words of the hip hop vernacular, is not freestyling it.
Right.
He's not making it up as he goes. Ishkataba ashko. E manda babosi andai. Hata bababoshai. Glory, glory. When God speaks over your life, the time for the manifestation has already been determined. I'm going to say that again. I said, when God speaks over your life, the time of its manifestation has already been determined. And the scriptures are replete with profound examples.
He tells a young man, about 17 years old, that I'm going to have the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down before you. But if God had sent Joseph from his house to the palace, he would have been a mess. And isn't it just like God to show you the end of a thing? And you rejoice in the end. The truth of the matter is that revelation comes in dispensation. God doesn't tell you everything you're going to go through before you get there. He reveals it as you walk. My grandmama, Mother Patrick's sister, used to say, boy, you can't live holiness a week in advance. You got to live it by the day. So as you walk with God, I feel like preaching now. As you walk with God, God will begin to reveal what it is he's called you to do. Now, I know a lot of times we want to jump ahead of him, but tell your neighbor, just walk with him, walk with him. A lot of times we want to circumvent, navigate our own plan because we want to hurry up and get there. But remind your neighbor of the subject. Say, neighbor, wait for it. There it is. This boy had to visit the pit. And after being in the pit, he was sold to the Ishmaelites. He was sold to the enemy of his family. Then after going into Egypt, he was picked up for a prophet by a man by the name of Potiphar. After sort of getting himself together, he finds himself at the top of the ladder in Potiphar's house. But then Potiphar's wife started liking him. I ain't gonna deal with that tonight. But because of his stance for holiness, he finds himself in prison. And I know he was good up until the butler baker's incident. When the butler was restored, he said, sir, when you get out, would you remember me? And isn't it just like God to have people forget you? Y'all didn't hear what I said, didn't they? I said, isn't it just like God to have people forget you? That's some things that you can only learn through the isolation of your anointing. People want to be anointed, they just don't want to be isolated, Lord have mercy. They want everybody patting them on their back, and then when somebody tells a lie on them, they crack up and cry all night. Man, what army you been in? I said, what army have you been in? When I first got saved, I was 11 years old. They told me I wasn't going to last 6 months. 46 years later, I'm still preaching. I don't hear nobody talking to me. I want you to understand that if you got in this army, when God anointed you, he put a big bullseye on your back. So you have to learn how to deal with the isolation of your anointing. Let's look at our text. This is a Psalm of David. And if anybody could talk about patience, David could. Minding his own business, gaining an experience with God, allowing God to put a testimony in him, not worrying about the jealousy of his brothers, not concerned with their advancement into Saul's army, but content to do what God had called him to do. Wasn't but a few sheep, but if I can take care of these few sheep correctly, then God can trust me with something else. Thank you, Jesus. And what you don't understand is when you're in the city of isolation, when you're in the county of insignificance, when nobody knows your name, or that the old folks used to say, ain't nobody studying about you, that's when God can have your undivided attention. I'm going to preach now. He can have your undivided attention. And if you allow him to make you content where you are, then he can give you a testimony. I'm about to shout here. You have to understand that God has a way of anointing you off sight. I preach a message dealing with the building of the temple of Solomon's temple, or David's temple, that was built by Solomon. And it says that there was not a hammer heard on sight. That they would work off sight. And after they had chiseled and measured and got it correct, then they would bring it on sight and it just fit. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm anointed for this. You see, when God has chiseled you off sight, people think, oh, you're just up there trying to be seen. No, no, no. Where he come from? I was off sight. How did he get his expense? Off sight. See, while you were somewhere trying to be seen, I was somewhere letting God work on me. David was off sight. When God told Saul, I know you know the story, I know you know it. Like the Baptist woman hollered out when the man said, you know the story. He said, yeah, but we pay you to tell it. When God told Samuel, go down to Jesse's house and anoint my next king. If you read the 13th chapter, you'll understand that God had already spoken the prophetic through Samuel and told him that God has snatched the kingdom out of your hand, Saul, and he's given it to someone who's after his heart. I submit to you tonight that when those words came out of prophet Samuel's mouth, he had no idea of who he was talking about. Just because you prophesy something doesn't mean you understand it fully. Let me move on. God said to Saul, how long are you going to weep over somebody I've rejected? Get up from here and go anoint my king. Took a calf down and was ready to slaughter it. Walked into Jesse's house and said, Jesse, God told me the king is coming out of your house. In walks Eliab. Samuel jumps up and says, I'll be anointed of God. And God says, shut up, boy. That ain't who I want. Lord, have mercy. Man looks at the outer appearance, but God searches the heart. The last king you had looked like a king. People telling folk, you got a head like a preacher. Yeah, right, okay. You ought to stop telling folk that. You ought to say something like, do you have a heart like a preacher? Went through all of the boys. Said, Jesse, do you have anybody else? Said, no. Yeah, oh, Lord. Yeah, but he can't be the one. And Samuel said, go get him. Where is he? He's off sight. Said, I tell you what, we're not going to sit down till he show up. I know I'm talking to somebody here that looks as if they've been looked over, passed by. Your time is over. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the party can't get started till I show up. When that good-looking ruddy boy walked in the room, Samuel stood up and said, this is the anointed of God. How do you know it's the anointing of God? Because the oil began to flow. I'm looking for the oily section. I'm looking for... See, the thing that other folks struggle with, when you're anointed, it's easy. I'm going to say that again. No, I said the thing other folks struggle with and try to copy, it's easy for you because there's oil flowing on it. I think we're emphasizing the wrong thing. We shouldn't emphasize the car. We shouldn't emphasize the zip code. We shouldn't emphasize the suit. All of those things are nice, but what we ought to emphasize in the church is the anointing. Because the anointing is what destroys. The anointing came. The anointing came. Y'all sit down. Y'all make me nervous. And the anointing came. And something significant was said in that 16th chapter. It said that the Spirit of the Lord God was on him from that day forth. I preach a message from that text. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's still on me. When God has his hand on you, you may go through some situations, but it's still on me. I might find myself in a pit and in a prison, but y'all gonna help me preach or what I gotta do. I might even be hit with an incurable disease, but it looks like my church is going down and things are going haywire, but it's the Spirit of God was on him from that day forward. Samuel anointed him and said, you would be the next king. The next king. David had enough sense to know, I'm going to go back off site. Ain't no need of me showing up at the meeting talking about, the Lord told me that I'm going to be. Must I move on? Now, y'all do know I am Church of God in Christ. Y'all do know that. And so, I hear you, Brandon. So, David goes back to the field. And at the behest of his father, takes some cheese and some wine to his brothers. And when he gets there, the eldest one, who thought he should have been, but he wasn't anointed for that. So that's the reason jealousy is one of the dumbest things you could have. Envy should not be found in the church. The Bible says don't let jealousy be named among you. Don't let it be found among you. Because why? You can't do what I'm anointed to do. But by the same token, I can't do what you're anointed to do. So why don't we appreciate one another? I thought I got a bigger amen than that. David goes on, slays Goliath, and then after he kills the giant, he's invited into the palace to live with the king. Now, can't you just see? And in 12 minutes, I'm going to put a bow on it. Can't you see now, David, in agreement with the prophecy that Samuel gave him? Oh, I see it now. I'm going to live in the king's palace, fight the king's battle. Jonathan and I have already talked. We have an agreement and an understanding, and he doesn't have a problem being my vice chairman. I try to teach the folk in my church, Bishop Ellis, I try to teach them that your first anointing is in the second position.
Right.
So much to preach, so little time.
And so David begins to visualize, Bishop Wells, in his own mind, what God is getting ready to do. I'm going to live in the king's palace, serve him faithfully, and then when he passes, I will be exalted as the king of Israel, the captain of the Lord's host. But he had no idea that he would come home, sit in his seat at the dinner table, and there would come a javelin from the man he admired, served, loved, and worked for. And it wasn't thrown to wound him. It wasn't thrown to get him in line. The javelin was thrown to kill him. And had he not maneuvered out of its way, he would be dead. But please, tell your neighbor our subject. Say, wait for it.
Wait for it.
I'm going to move on. He had to go out into the wilderness. Had to go out into the woods. Here comes Jonathan to say, I'm coming to tell you if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad. I'm sorry to say, it's going to be bad. I'm sorry to say that my daddy is not ever going to get over this fit. He's out to kill you. I just came out here to encourage you. Well, aren't you going to stay with me because you're going to be my vice chairman? No, I'm going to go back with my unanointed daddy. Because you have to learn, David, patience. Ishkataba. You got to learn the isolation of your anointing. And so David finds himself in a cave. Tell somebody it's still on me. I'm in a cave and I don't know why I got here. It would be different if I was a covert operator, if I was a double agent, but I served this man and behaved myself wisely. And I don't understand why I'm in a cave. But I want you to know something, that if you can't handle your cave, you won't be able to handle the kingdom. Closing now. Look at your neighbor and say, work your cave, work your cave. You got to learn how to be right in the cave. When you can't explain your circumstance or figure out how you got here or what God is doing with you while you're here, you got to learn how to work your cave. Something about the cave, you know, in the elite place, you gather all of the elite people. Everybody loves to be around somebody that's doing good. But the ones that are going down with you, the ones that are down with it, are those that will follow the anointing into a cave. Lord have mercy. I know when we pray, we want the good members, the rich members, the fine members, the members that won't make us look bad. But everybody that came to David was either in debt, discontent, upset, disrespected, disinherited, disenchanted, just the bottom of the barrel. But they followed the anointing into the cave. Look at here now. You got to learn how to work your cave. The one thing that you never must lose sight of in your cave, you can't lose sight of the promise. Because God cannot lie. And God cannot change. Hath he not said it, shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken it, shall he not make it good? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is going to do just what he said. So David is talking to us out of his testimony. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And what does patient mean? Patient means to happily endure. Say that with me. Say, happily
endure. In other words, I'm not kicking over cans. I'm not cussing anybody out. I'm not mad because I'm in a cave. I'm just waiting on the promise of God to come to pass. Say yes. I want you to understand that things might not go the way you want them to go. But David said, I waited patiently. In other words, I got a song while I was waiting. I got happy while I was waiting. I sang while I was waiting. I prayed while I was waiting. I worked while I was waiting. It's one thing to think that God has forgotten you, but it's another thing to know that God cannot lie. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God cannot lie. Clap those hands and give them praise. Finally, David finds himself outside of the church because he doesn't want to fight anybody in the church. Ooh, oh, Lord. Some people are outside of the church. Let me say it like y'all say. Some people are outside of the brotherhood. Not because they don't like the brotherhood, but because they don't want to fight in the brotherhood. And sometimes God has to move you off site so that you can keep your anointing and stop fighting those that are fighting you. I wish I had somebody here that could say with me, I've waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard me. Say yes, yes, say yes. I'm gonna say right now, David had to find himself just happy without complete understanding. Happy without knowing when it was going to happen. Happy even though the same folk that fought with him are now fighting against him. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm happy. Yes, yes. I want you to understand that everything might not go your way, but I'm waiting patiently. Myself happy in the midst of tribulation. I learned how to make myself happy. Yes, I learned how to take a lie and shout in the spite of it. I learned how to let friends that betray me not know they got the best of me, because I learned how to praise God. Oh, Lord, do I have anybody here? Fruition yet. Look at your name and say, name, wait on it. I waited patiently for the Lord, but here's the good news. He heard me. Teach a lesson about the proximity of prayer. And what it says is that the reason God hears you is because you're real close. And oh, the infrastructure of prayer is that if God hears me, then I'm confident that I'm going to have what I asked him for. Look at your name and say, neighbor, God heard me. Y'all really not saying it like like I need you to say it. Say, God, hurt me. I kept on waiting, and then I waited some more, and I waited, and I waited. Time kept on passing, but I kept on waiting. They were laughing, and I kept waiting. They were teasing me, and I kept waiting. I waited on the Lord. I waited on the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, wait for it. Throne now, Lord, but you don't know what I went through to get here. I wish I had somebody that wanted to be transparent. Tell your neighbor, you don't know what I went through to get where I am. Yes, you look at the people on stage and say, I wish I could sit up here one day, but you don't know. Some preachers to help me. Lord, everybody wanna be the PB, but you don't know what he had to go through to get where he is. But tell your neighbor, I'm waiting on the Lord. Clap those hands and give him praise. There's somebody here. God has given you a word. He told you he was going to save your husband, and he looked like he's going in the opposite direction. But help me preach and tell your neighbor, wait on it. God told you he was going to save your son, but look at your neighbor and say, wait on it. God says, I'm going to bring your family back together. Look at your neighbor and say, wait on it. Wait on it. Wait on it. Everybody stand to your feet. Reach out across the aisle. Everybody touching somebody. I'm so serious. It's hard for me to believe, Elder Blake, that I've been pastoring 27 years. I don't know where that went. We just celebrated Pastor McClurkin's 15th year of pastoring. I don't know where the time went. Pastor Bishop Drew, I don't know where it went. We was just starting. When we started our first church, Bishop Sheard and I was looking at one building. He was looking at another building. He ended up buying the building I was looking at. And I ended up buying the building he was looking at. We've been friends for years, and there isn't one bit of jealousy between us. Not one. Not one. He'll come by, pick you up for lunch, and I'll go by. Listen to what I'm saying. With every church he's had, I've been there to rejoice with him. With everyone I've had, he's been there with me. When we first bought our first church at 13220 Greenfield, we paid it off in 4 years. Went to another one, the one we're in now. Seats over 2,000 people, 163,000 square feet. Paid it off in 4 years. We've been building a new edifice. We've been in the process of building it since 2000. It's over halfway complete, and we haven't had a bank loan or financial institution to give anything. We've paid over $13 million cash dollars in the city of Detroit. And Bishop Sheard can tell you, so you know I'm not lying. And he's heard it, I've heard it. Wine is built too big.
Aquinas said maybe the Lord didn't tell him to be ill. But I said, Lord, when I was at my lowest, Madam Blake, the project had ended for 2 years. They still just laid on the ground, Bishop. Bishop Hill will tell you. And I said, I was riding the 6 a.m. prayer, Superintendent. And I said, Lord, I'm not ashamed. If this ain't what you told me to do, I'll go to my church. It's not like we don't have a nice church now, and it's paid for. We can sell this land, make a profit, and we can tell the world that the Lord wanted to do it that way. But while I was praying, on my way to 6 a.m. prayer in the snow, I said, but Lord, I know you told me. So, Lord, I tell you what, I need you to do something for me today. Before 11 o'clock, the builder called me and said, Marvin, we got to get that still off the ground. We got to get it off the ground. What if I lend you $500,000? How long would it take you to pay me back? I said, it won't take long. We never had to borrow that money. Because when I went to the saints, they paid it. And it's been going on ever since. Listen to me. I want to pray for you today that I'm discouraged in any area of your life. If, Mandaba, you have received a promise from the Lord, how much time has elapsed. Young people, you live in a day of immediacy, but God wants you to wait on him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this gathering today. We thank you for your word that has been spoken. You promised some things, and Lord, it's been a while, it's been a while. But where can we go? You have the word, everlasting life. Renew, revive, rekindle the flame for the word that you promised. Oh God, I see you stirring it up. Stir it up. Stir up the mind, the spirit, the heart. Give us a desire for souls to be saved. To let go of all of this nonsense and get back to what, Father, renew it now. Now lift up the hand that you're holding. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up high. Lift it up high, lift it up high. Father, I thank you. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow. Move throughout this building. Stir up every ready heart and every willing soul in the name of Jesus. Now, when I count to three, I want you to release that hand. And I want you to go to seven people. I want you to count it, seven people. And what you're going to tell them, you're going to prophesy to them. And say, there it is. You've waited for it. There it is. I want you to believe because God is uninfluenced by time. The end is with him from the beginning. And I want you to go to seven people and prophesy to them and tell them, there it is. When I count to three, and when you finish with that seventh person, I want you to praise God like you have just entered into that dimension that you waited for him to do. One, two, three, go to seven people and tell them, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Oh, there it is.
I've been praying for, everything I've been waiting for, everything I've been hoping for.
Somebody needs Jesus. We can do this together. I want at least 100 people to sow a seed of $100. I want you to do that. I want you to get ready to do that. Everyone else, I want you to get a $20 seed in your hand. And don't walk the other way. Just stay right there. You've been so nice. And I don't want y'all to get the walk-ins. Ain't nowhere to go in Cincinnati, really. I've been here before. But I really want everyone to stop walking, even those that are walking, acting like they don't hear me saying stop walking. The reason I want you to stop walking is because I want souls to come into the kingdom. If there's anyone here that says, Pastor Winans, I had given up on God. I had given up on the promise because I was impatient and I thought God was playing. The enemy tricked me and deceived me into thinking that God was not going to do what he said. These men come to pray. They're the praying men. All right, this is wonderful. That's what they're here for. Hallelujah. These women coming to pray. They look like they mean business. Because soul business is business. That is the business of the church. Everyone standing, if there's someone here that says, Pastor Winans, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want you to come down these aisles right now. Even if you've given up, say, I'm still in the church, but I gave up. I want you to come down and let these men and women pray for you. Church, if you give God praise, they will come. Create the atmosphere that is okay for them to come. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
church. Praise him. Anyone, come down right now that we might pray with you. Come on, church. Keep praying. Keep praying. Anyone, come. Whatever's going on, Christ is the answer to broken homes, broken hearts, world unrest, and every human problem. Some people right now are going through personal situations in your life right now, and you don't know where you're going to turn to. You don't know where you're going to go, but God can answer your prayers on tonight. We're getting ready to go back to the altar in just a few moments for our live altar call that's going on right now. We want you to know that we care about you here at the Church of God in Christ. We care about you. Let's go back to the platform right now and watch the hundreds of souls and thousands of young people from all over the world coming down to the altar for prayer and for salvation. Let's go back to the altar right now, and we'll be right back in just a few moments.
It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago, it was these bishops down at the altar. It wasn't that long ago, you were down at this altar. Open your mouth and give God praise. Let the Holy Ghost fill him with the Holy Ghost. Hi, hi. See under the motion. Sanctify them. Cause them to stand up in that generation. Jesus, make them warriors. Make them steadfast and unmovable. Examples of your will and of your word. Jesus, have your way. Oh, do it on the inside. Say yes. Yeah, yes. Oh, my, see. Come on, church, I need you to pray. I need you to praise. I need you to push. I need you to travail. I need you to intercede. I need you to supplicate. I need you to petition. I need you to request. Come on, open your mouth and give God praise. Do it down on the inside. Deliver my God. Deliver my God. Yeah.
Amen, amen, amen. That was Bishop Morgan Winans. What a word this morning. The Overcomer Scripture is Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9 states, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. Those of you all who are under the sound of our voices on this morning, Bishop Winans has already opened up the doors of the church, as they say. We just want to extend to you that same invitation, if you would, to come to Christ. Those of you all who are under the sound of my voice, you realize and understand the thing that you have gone through in this life, the issues and circumstances of this life. But know that there is an advocate. God is interceding for you. He's praying for you. He's calling on the name of the Lord for you. He's speaking right now on your behalf as you come, as your heart is turned. Those of you all who have made that decision to come and stand in the body and stand with Christ on this morning, our prayer this morning is that you receive what God is giving to you on today. So just lend me your hearts for a moment as I pray for those that are desiring to give their life on this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for these, your precious children, God, that are coming right now before this altar that you have created. God, that they are giving their lives even now. God, that you're moving by your power and by your strength, God, that they are being transformed even now under the sound of our voices on this morning. God, our prayers, God, that you would speak life, and not just life, but life more abundantly, God, that they will receive from you, God, that they need to move forward, God, that they need, God, to move into the next transition in you. Father, we pray today, God, that you would speak a word of life and a word of hope, word of joy and a word of strength to them right now. Restore and recover them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, let not their hearts be troubled neither, Lord God. Let them be weary in well-doing, Father, for you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think. Rest, rule, but abide in their lives even now. God, restore unto them that, God, that they need right now, God. God, we dispel all of the conversations and the myths, God, that has been spoken over their life right now. God, restore unto them, God, their ability, God, to live and walk according to your way. God, in the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. God, and we thank you right now, God, even as they're under the sound of our voices, God, that they receive Romans 10 and 9, as we declare it over their life, God. God, that they confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts that your son Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and they are now saved. Thank you for putting them in a safe place, God. Place of safety, Father God, a place of joy, a place of peace right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you in advance, Lord God, for all things being made well. We pray for those, God, that are under the sound of our voices, God, all our pastors and preachers, ministers and evangelists, God, God, the workers in the pews, God, the workers behind the scene, God. God, we pray for the body of Christ, God. We lift them up to you and pray, God, you would strengthen. We lift up our country. God, we lift up our government. God, we lift up our children and grandchildren. God, we lift up all of our friends and neighbors, God, across this country. God, we ask that you would touch them and build them up, God. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. We thank you guys so much for being a part of today's broadcast. Our prayer is that something was said or done that was given to you on today that increased your heart and increased your mind for coming. We pray that God's word has taken whatever stain that the enemy has placed in and on your life off of your life. We pray, God. We pray that the Lord God has done something magnificent in your life. Our prayer is also that you continue to listen in and pray a part of the broadcast as we go forth and what God has called us to do as ministers of this great gospel. We ask that you would continue to pray for us as we continue to pray for you. Those of you all who would desire to sow on this morning, you could do so by going to your Cash App. And that Cash App that you could go to is $WGC2020. Again, that's $WGC2020. Also, remember those of you all who are looking for that relaxing bath experience, that Calgon Take Me Away moment, you can get in contact with none other than Lady Douglas Danwell. That is her business that she has. It's Cora Gifted Gifts Bath Bombs. You guys get in contact with her. You can do so by texting her or either going to her email. That text number is 832-816-7997. Or go to her email. It's Cora Gifted Gifts 34@gmail.com. That's Corey Gifted Gifts 34@gmail.com. You can get in contact with her on any one of those contact information. So we thank you again for being a part of today's broadcast. We love you and know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So we thank you guys again for being a part of today's broadcast. God bless you. You guys have a fantastic day. Enjoy the rest of your day.